Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Who go? I go. We all go here on WEEI Afternoons. I just learned something. I did
What's that? That's
pronounced Ugo. H-U-G-O is pronounced Ugo.
Wait, hold on. You had to have known that because back during the dictatorial days of Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, it's not a Hugo. Like if he was French, it would be Hugo. But if it's Espanol, it's Ugo.
Come on. I know you had a pair of Ugo Boss jeans.
Can you rerun? Let's just start over. We'll drop everything.
I'm sorry. I'll show myself out.
I mean, we have enough dad jokes and bad humor between Fitzy and I, but when you inject yourself into the conversation, I think we go a little bit over the top there.
I'm so proud right now. I can't stay. Ugo Boss.
Oh, my God. Ugo is now a member of the Boston Celtics. And
I'm like the biggest Ugo fan over here, guy.
I'm a big fan of this pick. I was not initially, and then the more I read and the more I saw, because initially, I, like Adam Jones, saw...
By the way, his tweet was just like, that was Adam Jones in his snarky wheelhouse right there. That was Pedro-level fastball.
Across three seasons, Ugo averaged 3.2 points on 41% shooting with 27.1 three-point shooting and 1.6 rebounds, and I was like, "Wait, we got a backup from a European team who doesn't really do anything statistically." And on the surface, he's an energy guy. And Ted Johnson and I both said while watching the postseason, the Celtics need one of those guys, Josh Hart. I've heard Ugo compared to Josh Hart. I've myself kind of compare him to what Aaron Nesmith became late with the Celtics, and then when he moved on to Indiana. Not the shooting part, but just the energy, pain in the ass, run around crazy. 6'6", also 6'6", but not a Will Campbell 6'6". 6'10 wingspan, athletic.
Can he play left tackle?
Probably not. I think he's a little undersized for that. But he'd try, because that's his mentality. He's gonna go all in. So, Fitzy, in my world of energy, effort, and attitude, if you're going to take a guy with the 28th pick, who only scores 3.2 points per game at a lower level of basketball.
How the hell is a guy who only scores 3.2 points a game, quote, the steal of the draft?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And if I wasn't swaying positive with my analysis on this and sort of leaning into my desire, I also think it marries up with what the Celtics are going to be. Don't you think the Celtics are going to have to be more of a try-hard team next year?
This is why I told you 2 days ago, bro, in my 3 points dance. Like, I'm looking forward to this team because I have a feeling, we should put together a list of adjectives that are all, like, try-hard adjacent. Like, try-hard, scrappy.
Gym hero.
Gritty.
High motor.
Yeah.
White. I mean, what?
Nasty. Buff. Hung.
High motor used to be what they said about, like, you know, undersized slot receivers in the draft. And they're like, I'm like, well, that guy's white, isn't he? I haven't seen him play yet.
Well, I mean, we all understand what you're... You could say it without saying it, but anywho.
Just letting people know.
What we need
know
to do is dip into our old Foxborough Book of Descriptives, Andy, which we haven't used in ages. Although, they may come back into play this year with the likes of Travion Henderson and living legend and future Patriots Hall of Famer Efton Chisholm III. But we need to go back into our Patriots Book of Descriptives and now apply them to the Celtics, because I think I'm with you 100% on this. The way the Celtics are going to have to win in 2025/26 until Brad is able to configure a contender, not dismantle a dynasty, but reconfigure a contender minus Jason Tatum, is by playing scrappy, gym hero, nasty, try-hard, gritty basketball.
Especially when you're competing with the Cavs, the Knicks, the Magic. I mean, all of those teams have a layer of scrappiness to them. Now, the Knicks are weird because they kind of have the star in Cat and Jalen Brunson. And Brunson's kind of scrappy, kind of clutch. And then you have the next tier that is definitely scrappy. But I think the Celtics lacked a scrappy player this year. I don't think they really had a, you know, I don't want to go Marcus Smart because that's a whole different thing. But that, you know, energy, their guys off the bench.
Soft?
I won't say soft because I don't think they were soft. It's just not how they were designed. You know what their bench guys were designed to do? Hit threes, right? Like that's that. If you can hit threes, you can play bench minutes for the Boston Celtics. This is a guy that is not going to hit threes. Someday, maybe. I'm guessing they'll ask him to become a better shooter, and I've seen allusions to he's a pretty good free throw shooter, so that should translate. He'll develop into a better three-point shooter over time. Blah, blah, blah. Don't know, don't care. For the here and now, for the 2025-2026 Jaylen Brown-led Boston Celtics, Ugo Gonzalez is going to ask to be an energy defender, a pain in the ass for other teams, and I like it. I don't love that you're in the position where you're drafting the 28th guy from a bench seat in Europe and immediately he's becoming potentially a rotational player. But, hey, we are where we are and it is what it is. So, Dan Ball.
Yeah, some of the words that you guys can mix in if you'd like include aggressive, feisty, militant, contentious, and even pugnacious. If
ooh,
you'd like
pugnacious,
to,
I like.
If you'd like to expand like your vocabulary.
That. We needed a pugnacious
WEI
person.
Afternoon Thesaurus over here. Check this guy out.
Pugnacious Ugo.
Well, pugnacious really means like loving. That's kind of a stretch. Like that's really like loving to fight. Like if you're the kind of guy
maybe
who
does.
Always goes in and three pints in, you're starting a Donnybrook. You're kind of pugnacious.
Yeah, feeling or displaying eagerness to fight. That's what I want from my Ugo.
Yeah, I mean it can be basketball fight. He doesn't need to be throwing actual punches. It can be fight on a basketball court in terms of the way he plays.
So
Ugo to the playoffs.
Oh, Ugo, take a break.
617-779-7937.
So, you know, maybe in a perfect world, maybe this guy turns out to be a scrappier version of Gershon Yabusele, who, of course, they drafted, we heard, was going to be like the next energy guy. They got out on too early, and now he's doing a decent job playing in the NBA as well. I will say, though, I was surprised. The Celtics waited to pick 28th overall. The guy that people were saying that they were targeting... Dan Ball, the name of the guard that the Heat that fell to the Heat number 20 overall. I forget his name. I thought the Celtics once because they were maybe considering jumping up into the lottery to grab this guy. Once he fell down to the Heat around 20, I thought the Celtics might have tried to find a way to trade up for him. So I was surprised they actually didn't move up and see if they could grab that guard.
I think you're looking for Kasparis Jakuchinis, I believe is how you say it. I was reading this.
Dandy, if any of your friends have a case of Kasparis Uchinich, you can call your doctor.
We had Stiz with a case of that during his three-point stance last week, and he scratched that on the air, and it really offended people on Twitch. I already need to get into a fight, not on Twitter, 207. The afternoon show is possibly the dumbest show I've ever heard. Okay.
Fair.
I'm open to that possibility.
Wait, possibly?
Yeah.
I either want to be the dumbest or not included.
Wait a minute. Fitzy knew what pugnacious means. Get out of here.
Just because he knew one word, you think he's smart? I heard he got smoked by Ted Johnson and Quiz with Stiz last week.
Yeah,
by the way,
so did you.
By the way, 5:30.
This here. Conveniently leaving out of the narrative that you, the week prior, turned into nothing more than a burnt shadow on the ground of the game show as well.
It happened.
Ted.
You know, my theory, I think it's being rigged. I think Quiz with Stiz is rigged toward Ted Johnson, the biggest guy on the show,
who
not only afraid of, but Stiz, the little Boston superfan, is like, Ted Johnson, you used to play for the Patriots. I'm going to make sure you win against these losers, Fitzy and Hart. It's rigged, you goof. We're getting porked. That's why I'm already expecting to lose today.
Stiz is turning into the Jack Barry of Quiz with Stiz.
But getting back to the afternoon show is possibly the dumbest show I've ever heard. I'm open to that possibility.
Good so far.
The text continues from the 207. He, he was a backup. Look how many former NBA players he was playing behind. Europe is completely different. Here he has to compete with current NBA players, you boob. What are you talking about?
You see, the crazy thing about the NBA, Andy, is that it's full of
NBA players. Jesus, Jiminy Joseph. And I'm not saying this means he can't play. I do, you know, from what I've read.
No, you're a hater already, you smart ass.
They do tend.
Even the dumbest radio show put all that together.
Yes. They do tend to err on the side of age and experience over there in Europe with some of these teams, and he's 19, and but I'm just saying, he's now competing with the best basketball players in the world, current NBA players, not fledgling former NBA players. So if you want to take a snarky side, you can question why they drafted a backup in the first round. I'm choosing to take the optimistic side with Hugo Gonzalez. I think his athleticism, his ability to get to the basket, to defend, the energy, I think those are all going to be positives for the 2025 Boston Celtics. And they have made it clear they plan on him playing. He's not going to be one of those, oh, you'll see him in 3 years because he's going to get stashed in Europe. He's going to collect a paycheck and he's going to get some time for the Celtics this year, Fitzy.
Okay, which is great. And Andy, we should have known, because we were all over the Celtics about this. 'Twas not just you and Ted Johnson saying, well, the Celtics seem kind of lethargic, or, wow, how come they don't have like a pain in the ass fly in the kitchen type of guy that's always agitating the other team. I hated the way the Celtics were playing. I'm not sure if it was exhaustion, fatigue, if they were just stagnant, entitlement, whatever it was. But this tweet last night from our old pal John Corrales told me everything I needed to know about the way that Brad Stevens approached the draft and is going to approach this season, working in tandem with Joe Mazzulla and company. Corrales tweeted out last night, Brad Stevens just talked about how you could feel the Celtics getting stagnant and walking the ball up in the Knicks series. He referenced the Pacers Thunder as he said the team will try to address the team's pace of play. Hi, editorial fan note, someone who has to cover and also watch the team on a regular basis to enjoy them, and also they're part of my job. I couldn't be happier to hear that. Could not be happier.
Yes, Dimbo.
I'm just going to read you a quick stat line. 7.5 points, 4.4 rebounds, and 3.0 assists in 42 ACB games with Real Madrid in 2016-2017. You know who did that? Luka Doncic.
I knew that was coming because Brad brought up Luka last night, and that is... Don't do that, Brad. Brad, don't do that. The poor kid. Hugo barely played, and Hugo just got here, and you're comparing him to Luka Doncic. Like, and I don't think you're actually comparing him, but as soon as you put that name out there, it's like Bayo, Brian Bayo. Baby Pedro. Like, that was the worst thing that ever happened to Brian Bayo, was people calling him Baby Pedro.
Right. I think he was doing it with goodness in his heart, trying to contextualize the numbers that were out there, the Adam Jones numbers, if you will. But, yeah, that may not be the right name to compare him
to. As soon as you put that out there, it's out there, and it's tied to him. And like,
he then won the MVP the next year, by the way, so I was kind of cherry-picking a little bit.
He's also on the Boston Sports Bachelor scene. Watch out, Drake May. There may be a new handsomest Boston sports athlete in town.
You got a thing for Hugo?
He's a handsome dude. What? You can't admit that he's a handsome dude?
I haven't really looked that closely to.
You know who he looks like? He looks like
me?
Spitting image of you. Just add a foot three.
Hurtful.
So no, he looks just like the handsome dude who was like the menace to Teen Wolf in Teen Wolf.
I do not have a mind.
A nice contemporary reference.
There is not an image in my
head.
Movies
that were made 40 years ago aren't meant to be brought up on the afternoon show.
To be fair, I'm sure many of our listeners were like, Fitzy nailed it there. I loved that movie.
I remember that guy.
Meanwhile, the hosts and the producers are like, no idea what you're talking about. But this was, you have to expect you're picking 28th. We knew. Hell, this draft fell off the map basically after like three names, right? It was Cooper Flagg, who's going to be a superstar in the league. And yes, we wanted him, but you weren't getting him. Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. Like, those were the three big names. And the Ace Bailey one was almost as much negative as it was positive because of his whole thing not working out and canceling workouts. And like, there weren't a lot of, you know, big names to lust after at the 28th pick. I'm just saying, for a Celtics team that is in a weird season, although you're going to get a more fast-paced Celtics team this year for one reason and one reason only. Jason Tatum's not playing. When you guys talk about people walking the ball up the court, who do you think does it more often than anybody else on the Boston Celtics? Jason Tatum. He loves to walk the ball up the court. That's the way he plays. Dribble, 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 shoot, all that heck crap. And Stiz doesn't like it. Stiz gets very upset with that style of play. I think Ted Johnson. But for that reason alone, you're going to look different this year with the Boston Celtics. Now, is Hugo Gonzalez going to really change the tenor of the Celtics? I don't know. That's a lot to ask, even though he is the next Luka Doncic. But yes, Dan Ball.
Baylor Shireman, who was picked 30th overall, played 30 games. So I think if you get anywhere near that, you're happy. He's going to do his damage in Maine.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, Baylor Shireman joined the greatest Celtics team ever constructed.
And did what?
Not much.
Okay, there you go.
No, but that's my point.
He had one big game.
Hugo Gonzalez is joining a torn-down version of the Boston Celtics. Now, that's the next step in this question. You got Hugo last night. Are they still tearing down? Has the teardown stopped? Can we put away the Jaylen Brown trade rumors and the Derek White trade rumors that Shams and others were trying to... I don't really know what they were trying to do. That's another side topic here for like a media critic. Were they hearing these rumors from the other teams, from the Celtics? Were the Celtics trying to drum up these dream packages for Jaylen Brown and Derek White? Like, there's a lot there. Also, is Derek White that good? Did Derek White suddenly become overrated? Like, Jaylen Brown is an all-NBA player. He's supposed to be your second-best player. He's now supposed to be your best player. It's understandable that you would be drumming up or teams would be offering up, you know, crazy packages, as it was reported by Shams. Isn't Derek White still a complimentary player? Like, is Derek White worth a crazy package?
No, not anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So, like, that was weird, too, how those two were kind of lumped together. Celtics have a high asking price looking for crazy packages for Brown and Derek White. And it's like, those two guys aren't the same. You keep lumping those guys together. They're not the same. So I do wonder, Fitzy, are we done? Are we done with the movement? Or are we in a pause here for the draft? Are we going to be talking about other players exiting? Al Horford, I know, is one of those because he's a free agent. But I'm talking about, are the trades done?
No.
Sam Hauser? Is he staying, going?
Yeah, walking? I think Sam Hauser is the name to watch as far as players the Celtics could deal away if they think they're able to get 70 to 75% of his distance shooting from, we'll say, a Baylor Shireman as well, who they took, obviously, early in the draft last year. And then if they could replicate any defensive efforts that they need, let alone you would get from Hauser, from the likes of an Ugo Gonzalez, and if they're able to re-sign Cornette as well, and Shireman, I think that could make him dispensable. Because if you're going to try to be a scrappier team, then you're going to end up wanting to give minutes to Gonzalez. You're going to try to give minutes to the likes of Jordan Walsh as well. Like,
yep.
He's obviously not an offensive threat, but he's a rebounding machine and a defensive presence. So, you know, if that's the attitude and the tenor they're going to take with this year's team, then guys like Hauser could potentially be on the outs. They're only $4.5 million under the salary cap now, and if they want to re-sign Cornette and re-sign Horford and avoid paying $200 million in luxury tax, a guy like Hauser could be on the block.
And you know who fits in my opinion, to the scrappy nature, maybe a little more defense being played, maybe a little lower scoring, maybe you're not going to get those 75-point first halves where you go – whatever, 20 of 30 from three-point land?
Who's that?
Your best player. Hasn't Jaylen Brown made it clear over the years that he'd like to play defense? He likes to be scrappy. He doesn't mind shooting mid-range jumpers. He doesn't mind playing the game the way some of these other Magic-like teams play. I think Jaylen Brown, I think you're going to see, even though we were questioning the Anfernee Simons trade, like, oh, they added another guy jacking up threes, same old Celtics. I'm not sure they're going to be the same old Celtics. I do think there's a chance they're going to run a little bit more. I do think there's a chance they want to play defense a little bit more with Jaylen Brown and some of these scrappy guys like you talked about, Walsh, Ugo Gonzalez, that they bring in. I think those of us that have been bitching and bemoaning the three-pointers and the slow style of play might get an injection of what we want. Now, the problem is, we also might get more losses. And if we tie those together, oh, great, they're shooting less threes, but they're also scoring less points and losing more games and in the middle of a dogfight in the conference. It'll be a careful what you wish for situation. But I do think the Celtics may go back to Brad Stevens, early year Celtics, the try-hard Celtics. And remember, he's still Brad Stevens who built Butler, right? Like, he built a program from nowhere. And what is their mascot? A bulldog. And I still think, even though we put three-pointers on Brad Stevens, don't you think he still kind of likes that questionable team, underdog, scrappy, high-energy, try-hard style?
So, and who's the Gordon Hayward going to be?
I don't know yet.
Who's going to be the lead bulldog, if you will, on this team?
Maybe just Jaylen Brown. It might be Jaylen Brown. He's a bulldog.
You asked yesterday and the day before, are the Celtics a better team now? To which we all have to say, well, on paper, no, but Brad's not done. Is there a chance, though? I'd like to counter with, is there a chance these Celtics, given the style of play we see potentially evolving, they might be a more likable team?
Yes, although they could also be less likable because
they might suck.
Well, not only could you suck, there's the style could be more likable. The personalities may be less likable. I think Porzingis was one of the most beloved Celtics over the last couple of years. He had a weird relationship with the fan base.
I love a giant softy with creative language like that.
And Drew Holiday is like Saint Drew. Like, he was doing everything perfect on the court, off the court. So
he's a legend.
Trading those two guys makes you, on the surface, less likable. But yes, I do think in Boston, where we tend to like the Trot Nixons, the Dustin Pedroias, the Dirt Dogs, the Scrappy, could this team be more likable? Could they play that style that's more likable? Absolutely. 617-779-7937. 86% was Brad Stevens' approval rating yesterday before the draft. Do you still feel that way after the 28th pick, Hugo Gonzalez, the three-point averaging backup from Europe? Or is he the high-energy guy that's a symbol of the new Celtics basketball in 2025? Take your calls on the Celtics. Also need to turn the page to the Boston Red Sox, who got swept in Anaheim. I had a happy boating day yesterday after the abbreviated WEEI afternoons. Not a happy flight day for the Boston Red Sox. They lose again, and some of the characteristics we've seen all season in losses were a problem, and the manager is lamenting some of those characteristics. Red Sox lose, get swept in Anaheim. We'll touch on that.
We suck again
is indeed. Before we talk about sucking again, we have Dan Ball, who does not suck, and he will have what's true.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Trending now. Swept by the Los Angeles Angels, 5-2. The 40-win Angels, thanks to beating you, I believe now 5 of 6 games this season. So that's a mediocre, at best, baseball team that just swept your ass out of Anaheim, sent you packing. Not a happy flight. Red Sox strike out not once, not twice, not 3 times. I'm not going to do the Francesa. It was 14 times the Boston Red Sox struck out yesterday in the getaway day. And that was like one of those old Snickers commercials. Want to get away? Yeah, you should have wanted to get away when you strike out 14 times, which is what they do. The Angels also strike out a lot. They struck out 12 times, and they lead baseball in strikeouts. And as I said, they're not that good either. But you also had the Dan Ball, the return of the they have some runs in the first inning and decide, oh, that's probably enough to win, right? We don't need more than 2 runs in the first inning. We'll pack it in for the day offensively.
Yeah, it was very Garrett Crochet start-esque, where you score just enough to win a 1-0 or 2-1 game. And then, I guess everybody decides, hey, let's play average to below average defense, and we might end up losing this game by a run.
And it works perfectly. Jiminy Joseph, yeah. And Richard Fitz returns to give you 4 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. So not great, not terrible.
He looked rusty, but the second through the fourth looked like the stuff was at least a little major league level, because the first inning was not.
My buddy Cooper, as last time he played the Angels.
My buddy Cooper Boardman, I was listening to on the pregame show after our show. Did you hear him say that he thinks there's a chance that he could be the best Red Sox pitcher not named Garrett Crochet moving forward?
I heard him say that.
Very high on him.
It's also not the first time I've heard that.
From him or others?
Just others. People are quietly high, either high on him or just really low on everybody else.
Or high on drugs.
Yeah.
And that's causing them to say things may be a little bit ridiculous. The Boston Red Sox and the skipper, who doesn't like to be called the skipper, wasn't happy. There was a comment last night asked about strikeouts, and he said, well, if you follow us, we've been striking out all year. He didn't care for that. Like, there was a tone. There was a Rich Keefe tone to that response, Fitzy. And, you know, I know strikeouts aren't the be-all, end-all. There's good teams, bad teams, strike out a lot. I keep going back to 2 things that jumped into my head, Fitzy. Early in the year, mm-hmm. Alex Cora told us he hates strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
His team continues to strike out a lot.
Oh, yeah, they do. I think they strike out as much, if not more, than anyone else in baseball.
Like, when a manager or a head coach hates something, wouldn't you think his team would at least make strides, efforts, go directionally toward avoiding that thing, the strikeout that he hates?
Like, if a head coach in football were to say, like, ah, nothing more that I hate than pre-snap penalties, and then your team continues to commit them, that's a sign of both ineffective coaching and not smart players.
Great point. The Patriots have actually done a lot of that in recent years. What happened to their 2 coaches?
Oh, they're not working for them anymore.
They played taps on their careers, especially on, well, both of them, really. Their NFL careers both ended. I think it's safe to say those two guys may never coach in the National Football League again. And Alex Cora hates strikeouts, yet the Red Sox strike out a lot. He also told us he hates being ejected, and I hate to point out the obvious, but you've been ejected a lot, including two straight in the last week.
And I wonder if this is going to be the season where he gets ejected the most. I mean, I don't remember a season where he got ejected more than twice. He did it twice this week, and I think four times on the season.
Yeah, and, you know, the frustrations, I find it hard to believe, are over. So there's going to be more frustrating base running or instances, things that could get his ire up and get him out there on the field arguing, and maybe with his pal, Alan Porter, who... he's on my list. He just made the list of dinky officials. But yes, Dan Ball.
Ladies and gentlemen, a quick round of applause for your major league leader in ejections by a manager in 2025, Alex Cora.
Okay. So the Red Sox.
Right up there with strikeouts.
Right. The Reds.
Errors.
The Red Sox.
Wow.
Like,
take a bow.
Thank you. We're a good baseball team. Thank you.
So you have a utility infielder manager. Utility infielder manager who hates strikeouts and hates ejections. His team leads the league in errors, is second, I believe, in strikeouts, and third in strikeouts, and leads the league in ejections. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you about the leadership or the job that Alex Cora is doing? Because for the first time today in the Boston Globe, or the first time I can remember, we had a, I won't call it a biting criticism of Alex Cora.
Hit piece.
I think hit piece is strong from Tara Sullivan, but she wrote a column basically saying there's a lot of reasons that the Red Sox aren't very good this year, and one of them is the job being done by Alex Cora, the manager, and she's not wrong, is she, Fitzy?
No, she's not, Andy. It's just that it's I mean, I don't know if we're allowed to recuse ourselves because...
Too close.
We are. I mean, I'm not going to say like we're bought and paid for. We're not compromised because we have a chance to talk to him every week and he does a whale of a job charming the, you know, metaphorical interview pants off of us. But like, let's be honest. If your team stinks at defense, if your team strikes out a lot and your manager is so confused and confounded by why his team sucks that he gets thrown out of a bunch of games, he's not doing a good job. Period.
He is not. And they're not doing a good job. They're now 40-42, as we've talked about. They're actually on worse paces than they've been, worse records than they've been. And yet, as Father Mike Schmidt says, I'm a Bible podcast, the general manager was on the Greg Hill show this morning, and he said they're going to add to this baseball team, that they are ready to add to this baseball team, which is good to hear. Good to hear that from Craig Breslow, that if the trade deadline were right now, would they be buyers or sellers? He had an optimistic answer, I think, if you're a Red Sox fan and want to be invested in this team. And here's what Craig Breslow said this morning on the Greg Hill Show.
Yeah, we would be looking to improve our team. We'd be looking to improve our team for 2025 because despite the fact that we haven't been able to strung together the consistent performance that we think we're capable of, we're still very much staring down wild card chances. And you know, nobody has really run away with the AL East. And so as we start to get healthy and we start to look externally about ways that we can improve the team, we think we've got a good chance to make a deep postseason run.
So he didn't say the word buyers anywhere in there, but he did say he'd be looking to add to the team, which I was worried when he started the answer that it was going to be just sort of a political, typical Breslow, lots of words answer. He said, no, add to the team for 2025. They still believe they can be a good baseball team, play meaningful games, all of those things. I think that's good to hear. But the problem is his out would be that word he used last week, right? Alignment. Like he can say we would look to add to the baseball team, but we never reached alignment with other teams on value deals that could help us, blah, 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 blah. The proof will be in his actions over the next month. Is he really going to be willing?
Show me the money.
Is he really going to be willing to add to a baseball team that is two games under 500, a team that, according to Jeff Passan and others, has some of the most attractive trade deadline additions for other teams in terms of Bregman and Duran and Chapman and others? This is going to be a really interesting trade. I guess they're all really interesting, the trade deadlines for general managers. And, you know, Chaim Bloom lost his job because he couldn't make decisions at the trade deadline.
Nope.
But do you believe Craig Breslow? Is there words there in Craig Breslow saying we'd add to the 2025 baseball team Do you now expect that they're going to be adding at the trade deadline and we don't even need to talk about trading Bregman and trading Duran and all these other things?
No, I don't. Or as Rafael Devers said, no, absolutely not.
How could you
not
believe this voice?
No, Brezbot, unfortunately I can't. Because what if the Red Sox go on to lose 2 out of every 3 over the next 4 series? Let's say they go 8. Let's say they go 4-12, 4-8 over the next 12. So then you could potentially be 6 games below 500.
Yeah.
With the wild card, let alone the AL East, slowly, distancing themselves on the baseball horizon. Why in the holy hell would you possibly add to that team? Like I don't see. It's entirely dependent on the next 3 weeks, how they do heading into the All-Star break, and if they come out of the All-Star break with the same funk that they did last year when they got smoked by the Dodgers and began a brutal second half stretch that took them from wild card leader to not even also ran.
And the other thing I continue to bring up here is the teams you're competing with both in the East and in the wild card standings haven't really been all that good lately. Like the best record is Los Angeles. They're a half game ahead of you in the wild card standings. Well,
the
their record,
Angels?
Well, yeah, but their record's good because they just swept you. They're 7-3 because they swept
not
you.
A good team, God.
But if you look at like the Blue Jays, who are one game up in the wild card, they're 4-6, and obviously they're in the East. The Rays have been good. I included them yesterday, but the Guardians are 5-5. The Rangers are 5-5.
So what you're telling me is we should just all put our money on the NL to win the World Series right now.
Potentially. And what I'm also telling you is even if the Red Sox turn this around after they lose 5 in a row here, well, in all likelihood, a couple of those other teams are also going to turn it around. They're not as bad as their current stretch. Mm-hmm. So you had an opportunity here, and it was similar last year, if you remember. And I forgot the phrasing that Alex Cora used last year in maybe like July, where he was watching other teams lose, and I think he called it lost opportunity or missed chances or something like that, because those teams will start winning too, and if you don't take advantage of your opportunities when you have them, mm-hmm. you're probably not good enough to continue to stick with them. So I want to believe Craig Breslow. I do. I sure. really want to believe his words. And I don't, but I've also learned that Alex Cora tells us stuff, and it doesn't always come to fruition on the Fenway field later that day or later that week, and it's quite possible that Craig Breslow won't come to fruition at the trade deadline. And the other issue is, I heard Rob Bradford on the Midday Show with Jones and Keefe very much kind of leave the door open, at least, for a Jarren Duran trade. And
still?
Yes. Wow. And if Jarren Duran is traded, then it's going to be hard for you to look at it as adding to a baseball team, because you're trading a good player away. You'd have to add quite a bit for me to say you had a net addition of talent to your baseball team. Yes, Dan Ball.
So the word of the day last week was alignment.
Yes.
Right? The word of this month, probably on this show, when it comes to Alex Cora, is pussyfoot. And I think that may be the way you go about the trade deadline, where you're going to maybe kind of buy, but also sell and try to spin it as, better for this year, we're better for next year, we're more dynamic, we're more flexible, we can use the DH position, look at our 3 outfielders, aren't we so cool? Like, that's what I would worry about in terms of what they're planning on doing. And
trust me, bro.
I can't.
Yeah, he said they would look to improve the 2025 baseball team. Look to improve.
And they may say that Anthony, Rafaela, and Abreu every day in the outfield is an improvement.
And this is the same guy that told us also that after dealing away our best hitter and getting popcorn, peanuts, and Cracker Jack in return for him, that there was a chance we were going to end up winning more baseball games than not, which still could very well happen because they weren't a great team with Rafi Devers. They haven't been a great team without Rafi Devers. The offense really has been in the toilet since they dealt away Devers. But Andy, I feel like Craig Breslow and the direction of the team this year are a weather vane during a windstorm. Like, it's just all over the place.
Both blow.
Why don't you go Ugo to break, and then we
Jesus,
can recalibrate.
Jiminy Joseph. It's interesting you bring up Devers and the Giants. So the Red Sox are 4-6 in their last 10. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the Giants' record is in their last 10?
6-4.
No. Nope. 3-7.
Ha ha, suckers.
You know who's not hitting very well in the last couple weeks?
Mike Yastrzemski.
Rafi Devers batting, I believe, 190. Over the stretch since he left the Boston Red Sox. So he went from a mediocre baseball team. he joined a good baseball team, and that baseball team is no longer winning. So if you want to directly attribute all wins and losses to the Raffy Devers trade when you're talking about the Red Sox and the Giants, well, he made one team worse by leaving them, and he made the other team worse by joining them. He made two baseball teams worse off. They are 3-5. The Giants since the trade of Raffy Devers. So they're a sub-500 baseball team that was above 500 when he arrived. So I'm just saying, we're going to tie Devers to the Red Sox. We also need to tie him to the Giants. Maybe he isn't quite the be-all, end-all, fix-all that everybody thinks he is out there. 617-779-7937. Are you concerned about the leadership of the Boston Red Sox? Tara Sullivan says that Alex Cora is part of the problem, not the solution, this season. Are we too close? Should we be more critical of Alex Cora? Or is it because on Wednesdays around 2:30, we talk to him and he's nice to us and he answers our questions that we don't acknowledge? Well, he answers our questions sometimes with truthful answers. We don't acknowledge some of the warts on this team. Another cut from Craig Breslow this morning. Defends Alex Cora. You'll hear that next here on WEEIF.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Afternoons. That was Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show this morning talking about the acquisitions they received in the Raffy Devers trade and the belief that those players will, at least some of them, contribute and fill voids and needs in the pitching rotation and bullpen this year. But it was another comment he made, Fitzy, that I think is very interesting in relation to our discussion of Alex Cora, how much blame he deserves for issues in base running and fielding. And some of those things, I think, Fitzy, you mentioned it the other day. If you just look back in recent years, Alex Cora's teams don't play good defense and don't run the bases well, right? That's what it looks like.
No, they do not. These are, I hate to say it, but I continue to lean back on the phrasing, these are hallmarks of Alex Cora Red Sox teams.
Are they hallmarks of Alex Cora's Red Sox teams, or are they hallmarks of the Red Sox organization? Craig Breslow answers it.
Recognizing that we've been kind of a poor fundamental team in the big leagues for a long time has forced us to do is look at the way that we're doing things in the minor leagues too, and question whether or not we're preparing guys to be successful at the major league level. And if you look at our performance in base running and on defense in the minor leagues at each of our affiliates, that's been struggling too. And so we've changed a lot of the way that we're training and teaching and the feedback that we're providing this year. And I think that we've seen some progress, but it's going to take some time.
I think that is the most telling comment Craig Breslow has ever made. And I think it's the most telling comment that's ever defended Alex Cora to the haters out there who say your team can't run, your team can't defend. Craig Breslow just told you it's not an Alex Cora problem. It's an organizational problem that starts in rookie ball, single A, double A, triple A. He just told you. They've studied it, and I believe him. If he tells me he's analyzed something, Fitzy, that's his world. He's analyzed it. And he just told us they stink in those two areas throughout the system. So it's a...
How do you stink at that? It's the easiest thing in the world. When you're coaching freaking T-ball, you can see which kids can pick up a ground ball and catch a fly and which ones can't. They've had another 20 years of T-ball and Babe Ruth and AAA and high school and college ball and the minors to figure out, this guy can catch, this guy can't, this guy can field the ball, this guy can't. My God.
Well, maybe Driveline doesn't have a segment that handles base running or defense.
Yeah, watch out, because if you criticize Driveline, someone's going to come at you on the socials.
What do all of those levels have in common, Fitzy? It's all eye test related. There aren't advanced analytics at your T-ball and Little League teams. It's just like, oh, I can see that kid's a good fielder versus the numbers tell me he's a good athlete will make him into a good fielder and a good base runner.
Oh, so there's no stat like fade fielding above daily embarrassment?
No, but there should be with this team.
I just made that up, but let's stick with that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know. I read all these baseball articles, and I see these acronyms, and I'm like, that person could have literally just made that up, and I would just keep reading, because there's 8 billion of them out there. But Dan Ball, I want to get into that. So do you believe they're drafting too many athletes and not enough baseball players?
Yeah, that would be my that would be a possible conclusion that you
could
take
Campbell?
Away from this. I think he's a very good example of the fact that you saw the kid that has all the quote-unquote tools, the intangibles, all the things that you think you can mold into a good baseball player. But that's hit or miss, and you can't teach the mental side of things, mm-hmm. which is focus and ability on defense and the ability to read pitchers and steal and do all the different things. Those are focus and baseball IQ related things that you can't numerically teach somebody, or you can't numerically quantify if they have it or not.
And which a lot of people believe that baseball is a mental sport, right? Like it's whatever percentage you want to put on it, 100%, 90%, I don't care.
Yeah, your Hall of Famers fail 7 out of 10 times. Like you have to be mentally
Look,
strong.
You think a guy like the John Crux or even Ramon Martinez, if you will, of the world are not going to succeed. There's not a place for them except on special teams or
right.
kicking in the NFL.
And when we say mental, it's not just baseball IQ, intelligence. It's mental emotions, dealing with struggles, dealing with failures, dealing with success, and not thinking you have all the answers because you had a week that was good or 3 games that was good. And I'll tell you a little side story. Not that this matters because he was never going to be a big
Does
leader.
Does it have anything to do with you being able to defend against Peyton Manning?
I have no idea what that means, but no, it does not.
Deep pull.
So coaching my son in baseball, there was one time he was in a slump. He ran off the field, threw his helmet. I need to go back to an effing sport where I can effing hit somebody. And I do think there's some truth to that. If you play football, if you play lacrosse, if you play basketball, if you screw up on one end, you can do something on the other end. If you screw up one possession, you can do something in the next possession. Baseball, you can't. If you screw up, there's like a weight to redeem yourself. And there's a weight on your shoulders.
You gotta sit with it for an hour,
right.
a day, a week. Yeah.
Right.
And Andy, think about this too. Like, a sport that is ultimately similar to that, golf, like,
yes.
as well. Like, you get a chance to, you can quickly redeem yourself, but also, like, you play baseball, you go out to the golf course, you end up swinging like a baseball guy on the golf course, you look like an idiot. You end up swinging like a golfer at a baseball game, swinging a pop-up.
Right. And I do wonder, and I also wonder time investment. Driveline, I joked about it, but is there a segment of Driveline that handles the base running and fielding? Or are we so fixated on modern baseball as hitting and pitching, right? That seems to be all people care about, hitting and pitching. The pitchers are going to talk about spin rates and arm angles and these various pitches that they're inventing, the slurves and the burves and whatever you want to call them, and hitting, right? Launch angle and all these things, bat speed. What do they do about base running and defense? Dan Ball has his hand raised, so I think he found something.
On the Driveline website, under the training tab, there are only two sections that you can click on, hitting and pitching.
That's all people care about.
Yeah.
I thought defense wins championships.
That was my understanding. That's a fundamental universal belief overall. Defense wins championships.
I think we just stumbled into something. As much as people want to bitch about Driveline and the way it's ruined hitting and maybe turn the Red Sox into a team that's trying to hit home runs and strikes out too much, even though they're not built that way, Driveline is about pitching and hitting. Modern baseball analytics are mostly about pitching and hitting, spin rates, bat speeds, launch angles, all these things.
God, spin rate. If I never hear spin rate again, it'll be too soon.
Well, you're going to hear it again. I guarantee it. It's a big part of, don't listen to Brian Barrett, old friend. Brian Barrett, old friend, loves a little spin rate talk when he's talking about pitchers. But you don't get as much time and investment in base running and defense. It is a lost part of baseball, and more so with the Boston Red Sox, seemingly, than any other team. Yes, Dan?
I want to reference a quote from Lou Maloney to kind of back this up,
Lou.
Too. He answered a fan on the 24th of June saying they were having catch line drive drills pregame. The coaches just haven't worked enough with them on catching the ball in the
what?
Air. Also, when they run to third base and when not to, players are making mistakes and they need to clean it up. You can't be out there with them.
So I think I know more now.
That's an implication that they're actively doing fundamental drills at the major league level because these guys haven't learned it at the minor league level.
Yeah, it's infuriating, and I want to say I don't know who to blame, but I do know who to blame. The heads of organizations, they prioritize certain things. There's only so much time, energy, money that they invest in.
It's money.
And you can't ask Alex Cora to be a rookie ball instructor at Fenway Park. The rookie ball instructor is supposed to work in rookie ball, just like the single A, double A, and triple A managers, hitting coaches, base running coaches are supposed to do their work there. So, yeah, the Red Sox are a fundamentally flawed baseball team, and it's not just Alex Cora's fault. He deserves blame, but this is an organizational issue. Craig Breslow admitted it on the Greg Hill Show this morning.
Gross.
Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, this man is not gross. He's looking fine. Ted Johnson, the big linebacker, got a sweet-ass shirt on today. He's in studio. He's going to keep his germs to himself.
And he's on one already when it comes to you, I'm just saying.
He's ready to fight. Ding, ding, three-point stance, where interestingly, ironically, after the last segment, I'm going to tell you the positive silver lining for your 2025 Boston Red Sox. That's up next with my three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.